Hello and welcome to News 24 on Air, our live audio service. I'm Mihlali Ntsabo. The International Criminal Court has applied for two arrest warrants for three leaders of the Hamas and two from Israel, which will oblige countries, including South Africa, to arrest and ship them to the ICC to stand trial. ICC prosecutor Karim Khan made the announcement on Monday.
Today, I'm filing applications for warrants of arrest before pretrial chamber one of the International Criminal Court in the situation in the state of Palestine. These applications are the outcome of independent investigations conducted by my office under the direction of the two principal trial lawyers standing behind me today.
Included on the list is Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, to tell us more about the arrest warrants, News 24's foreign editor, Philip De Wit, now joins us on the line. Philip, thank you for joining us. It seems like the ICC is treating the Hamas and Israel alike, accusing both sides of war crimes and crimes against humanity. Please take us through some of the charges the leaders from both sides are facing.
Look, Karim Khan is very clear that he believes the rule of law requires that both sides be prosecuted simultaneously. And we saw that the announcement was actually a combined announcement, which would not necessarily be the legal approach to it. But politically, what Karim Khan is saying is the world needs to see that all war crimes everywhere will be treated equally, which has caused a great deal of outrage, of course, in some quarters. The charges are quite similar. So Karim Khan has said that he would like to see arrest warrants across both crimes against humanity and war crime statutes for these five leaders. And in many cases, that will mean putting forward the same evidence. So that there are legal instruments dealing with war crimes separately from crimes against humanity, but quite often you can use the same basis of evidence to put forward. And then the list is quite similar for Hamas and Israel with kind of different underlying facts. So the Hamas leaders are accused of extermination and murder. The Israeli leaders are accused of extermination and or murder. In the case of the Hamas leaders, that is by way of more direct violence during the 7th of October attacks, whereas for the Israeli leaders, a lot of those charges are around starvation. Hamas is accused of taking hostages, which Israel is not. Israel is accused of starvation of civilians, which Hamas is not. Both sides have this kind of catch-all category of other inhumane acts. In the case of Hamas, that the more specific charges are around torture and the cruel treatment of hostages. In the case of Israel, there are charges of persecution and intentionally directing attacks against the civilian population. Broadly speaking, though, what the prosecutor is saying here is both of these sides are clearly and evidently engaged in ongoing crimes that can kind of be pointed to with relative ease. And he certainly believes that he'll be able to convince these three judges in the pretrial chamber that these five leaders, for starters, should have arrest warrants issued against them.
Right. And of course, this application, Philip, has been perceived as a neutral stance. Is it perhaps surprising that the ICC has decided to take, I guess, this quote-unquote stance in this conflict?
Look, Karim Khan has signaled for some time now that this is the approach that he believes should be taken. So it was not entirely unexpected. I think the greatest surprise will be what ultimately comes out of the pretrial chamber. Keep in mind, this is a prosecutor making an application for warrants of arrest.
Yeah.
We will now have three judges who will face a great deal of pressure and lobbying. And I mean, from Israel, we saw very clear indications yesterday that they've already started that lobbying. So they will be under a great deal of pressure to not treat these matters simultaneously, to not, in the words of politicians from many countries, not to equate Israel's actions with those of Hamas. Honestly, that doesn't seem to be what anyone is doing here. No one is saying as much as Israel and the United States, for instance, says, well, you're equating the two sides. That is not the case here. What Khan is saying, and what we hope that the ICC will be saying, is that there are crimes being committed by both sides and both should be prosecuted. It doesn't matter what the underlying justification is. You know, it doesn't matter what the two sides say is their reason for this. It's about the crimes being committed on the ground and the prosecution of those.
Mm. And Philip, do we perhaps know how long it takes for these applications to be heard in the ICC?
It really depends on the complexity. We've seen arrest warrants being issued fairly quickly. It can be, in a month or less. We've seen this process take several months. And a lot of that has to do with the depth of the evidence that is provided. So the judges have on a high level, quite a simple task. They have to look at a bundle of evidence and say, well, yes, this looks like a case that could be successfully prosecuted, or to go, there's not enough here. There's no reasonable prospect for prosecution. We're not issuing warrants for these people. Right. We know that a great deal of work has gone into this over a long period of time. So these judges have transcripts of interviews. They have public statements. In many cases, these leaders will be hoist by their own petards in terms of the public statements that they've made. So those are quite convincing. Mm. And then there's a lot of evidence in terms of CCTV footage and photographs and so on. If those are sufficient for a prima facie case, then this matter could move quite quickly.
Right. Philip, ICC, ICJ, both at The Hague. Perhaps let's now look and talk about the different jurisdictions that these two courts play. I mean, we already have South Africa has a case, with the ICJ. But perhaps, what roles do these different courts play, especially in light of, this conflict?
Let's start with the International Court of Justice. That's the older one that's been around for a long time. The ICJ was set up by the United Nations when countries disagree with countries. So the case there is between South Africa and Israel as two states. In this case, two states that are both signatories to the Genocide Convention. And South Africa alleges that Israel is in breach of the Genocide Convention. That is then something that the ICJ needs to decide on, and to say South Africa says that you're not keeping up your part of this agreement. Mm. We agree or we disagree, and it takes action related to that. That's a long process that'll take very many years. What we've seen in the meanwhile, though, is that the ICJ has said there is a reasonable chance that we will find that there is genocide underway. That requires emergency measures, and that's where the provisional measures that South Africa have won come in. So the court has said, has listened to South Africa's argument and issued orders to Israel saying you must allow more humanitarian aid in, you must not kill civilians in Gaza. Right. That is as far as the ICJ can go. It can make those kinds of orders. It can find that Israel was in breach of the Genocide Convention. But it has no criminal reach, and it has no reach to individuals. It only deals with states. The International Criminal Court is a relatively young body, by contrast. It was set up more recently by way of the Rome Statute. And the purpose of the ICC is to look at criminal actions by individuals. So it seeks out those who are behind war crimes and crimes against humanity and seeks to hold them to account. So, for instance, it is trying to prosecute Russian President Vladimir Putin for allegedly being behind the kidnapping of Ukrainian children. It was the ICC that sought the former Sudanese leader Omar al-Bashir, which led to South Africa not arresting him when it should have, when he was on its soil. And in this case, the ICC is looking for the individuals they believe are behind these war crimes. Khan has made it very clear that this is an initial list. This can grow. But what the court tries to do is to at least start with people right at the top of the decision-making chain, in part because they arguably hold the greater culpability, but also in part because, that's the deterrence that it wants to kind of impose. It wants to say to national leaders in future, you will be held accountable. It is your job to make sure that there are no crimes against humanity or war crimes being perpetrated by people under your command, and you will be held responsible for that. You may not be pulling the trigger, you may not be, you know, withholding food directly, but you are criminally liable for these actions which cause great suffering or loss of life.
Right. And does the ICC's application in any way impact South Africa's case before the International Court of Justice?
On a legal level, absolutely not. The two are completely separate. The institutions are completely separate. The cases are completely separate. But of course, this is not just about the law, and this is not just legal. This is also about politics. And South Africa has been pretty blunt about the approach it's taken, which is to, via the ICJ case, put added pressure on Israel and especially Israel's allies, the likes of Germany and the United States, to halt the flow of weapons, to, you know, there's kind of a diplomatic war being fought here, and South Africa's ICJ case is part of that. In that sense, the ICC warrant application in and of itself already has a great influence on that, because for US President Joe Biden, for instance, this adds to pressure on him. You now have this prosecutor saying, we have evidence of war crimes being committed by Israel right now. Add to that a trio of judges who then look at this application and go, yes, this seems plausible to us. Then in the American domestic political space within Germany, that is going to have an impact on decisions that those politicians make, and potentially upon, you know, the future conduct of the war then.
And of course, South Africa has reacted to the ICC's application and has welcomed it.
And that was something of a surprise, not necessarily the welcoming it, but that President Cyril Ramaphosa yesterday very bluntly said, we welcome the equal-handed application of the law here, and we think the law should be equally applied. South Africa has shown a great deal of sympathy for Hamas and its cause. South Africa has been championing the cause of Palestinian people for a very long time. And South Africa has been accused by, amongst others, Israel right at the ICJ of being an ally of Hamas. You know, so I think we could have fairly expected a slightly more muted response from the South African government. And instead, President Cyril Ramaphosa came out and did not try to focus this on Israel. He did not try to, as many other leaders did, say there's no equivalence between these actions and they can't be judged side by side. He simply said, we welcome the law being applied equally.
Right, right. And of course, Philip, before we wrap up, what can you just give us the latest update of, you know, the situation currently between Palestine and Israel?
On the ground in Gaza, the fighting remains fierce. All the reports keep showing us that there's a great deal of fighting still going on. And it's not just isolated in the south. Israel had previously signaled that it had wrapped up operations in the north of Gaza and that it was satisfied that it had, in its words, exterminated Hamas there. But there is ongoing fighting in the north as well as in the south at the moment. And what we're hearing from the likes of the mediators in Qatar is that there's no political will towards a ceasefire from either side. So it does look like we'll be seeing fighting continue for some time yet.
Right. And Philip, one more question. Of course, you know, there's still conversation as to, you know, whether or not South Africa was making it actually a good decision, focusing on and prioritizing and, you know, and showing solidarity to the people of Palestine. I mean, you also wrote an opinion piece basically detailing the Gaza deaths are now sitting at 130% of SA murders and why it's important for us to not look away. Let's just reiterate, you know, actually why the story is important, not just, you know, internationally, but to us South Africans as well.
Look, I have a great deal of sympathy with people who say South Africa has enough problems and that 100%. We need to be focusing on our own knitting. And I think it's healthy that people lobby, and especially when they're lobbying in good faith, that they lobby the government to focus on what they believe to be important. For some people, that is the economic situation in South Africa. And for a lot of people, that is, for instance, the murder rate in South Africa. I have grown somewhat frustrated, and that led to that column this week, with people saying, yes, but what about the murder rate in South Africa? We have so many murders in South Africa. Why is South Africa not spending its time and efforts in reducing that murder rate? No matter how you slice it, very many people are dying in Gaza. And the calculation I used for that 130% was to look at the civilian deaths if we were to compare them, which is, you know, which is a morally very dubious thing to do. But if you insist on comparing the numbers, then very many people die in Gaza. So that alone is certainly not a reason to say, well, South Africa should not become involved here. The broader diplomatic debate is a much more difficult and fraught one. You know, people who argue that South Africa is putting itself in the middle of a big fight here and that it risks its relationship with the United States, for instance. Again, you know, should you be mercenary in your foreign policy or should you be more morally based? The kind of the South Africa of Nelson Mandela would involve itself in everyone's business. Perhaps the South Africa of Thabo Mbeki would have been more focused on African issues. You know, maybe South Africa in that era would have spent more time looking at the war in Sudan and even jihadism as close as Mozambique. What the government has chosen to do is to lead the charge on this matter and to say we cannot look away from the people of Palestine and from what's happening in Gaza. It's not, no matter how you look at it, that is not an invalid approach. There are very many people who disapprove of that. We have not, though, seen that become a big election issue. The various parties have not really picked up on that one way or the other. That seems to indicate that they don't think, you know, that it's necessarily either a plus or a minus for any large number of voters in South Africa. So we don't know how happy South Africans are with it, but it's the approach that the government has chosen, and it seems to be sticking to that.
Philip De Wet, News24's foreign editor, thank you for joining us. And you can follow our full coverage of the conflict by visiting news24.com. That's all we have for now. Until next time, I'm Mihlali Ntsabo.